Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Half Hour Fantasy Podcast. I'm your host Peter, joined this week by Tom. How are you, Tom?
I'm good, Peter. How are you?
Not too bad. It's just me and Tom this week. Donnie's on the holidays, so we'll get stuck right in. The league top three, there's one change. Robbie Dempsey, conquering Lions, moved to the top. I believe if he wins that, is that him won? He would win the league 2 years in a trot?
I think so, yeah.
That's how I'm going. But there's still weeks to go, so let's not get carried away. Right, we'll go to our points and rank. I had an absolutely terrible week this week. Absolutely dog shit is what I'm going to describe it as. 38 points. 2 for Gordon, 10 for Tavernier, nothing for Doig, nothing for Obelai, 6 for Golson, 1 for Ramsey, Vice-Captain Rogic 1. Now, I can't be annoyed with that one because I was between Ramsey and Rogic for Vice-Captain anyway, so it wouldn't have mattered how it landed. Jota, Captain 12, Boyce, Henry, Ramirez, 2 apiece up front and nothing on the bench. What about you, Tom? Sorry, my rank was down now to 364.
So I got 59 points with a minus 4. In goals, I had Strijic for nothing. Tav got me 10. Doig got me nothing. Vice-captain Juranovic got me 21. Obelai got me nothing. In midfield, Charles Cook got me 3. Ramsey got me 1. Captain Jota 12. Abada 8. Ronan 2. And up front, Sims got me 2. I didn't miss out on anything on the bench. And my rank is, I thought I had a good week, but it turns out people must have had a much better week. So I had a red arrow, and I'm down to 321 in the Mega League.
When you sent me your score, and when I looked at other scores coming in the Half Hour Fantasy Podcast, I knew we had two terrible weeks. Speaking of Half Hour Fantasy Podcast, the results is online. You've seen it. Everybody's in it, knows they've got. The draw is also online as well. That'll kick off the week after next, because it's Cup Week this week. Tom won't win it. Tom got knocked out in the first round. And I must be one of the luckiest people in the world. I get through with the lowest scoring points because Gunnar didn't update his team like he promised he would. So I went through with 38 points. So I'll take every little victory I can into the next round, take it for there. Right. Results, Tom. Get to the results and then we'll let you talk through. I've had an update on my laptop, by the way, so all my stuff is all over the place. I'm not used to it. It's quite annoying. Right, so Saturday we had Aberdeen 1. Sorry, this is for the games prior to the split, so a lot on play these games. Aberdeen 0, Ross County 1. Celtic 7, St Johnstone 0. The Dundee Derby 2 each. The Edinburgh Derby 3-1 Hearts. Livingston Motherwell 2 each. And on Sunday, St Mirren 0, Rangers 4. So over to you, Tom.
Okay, so start off with Aberdeen 0, Ross County 1. It was Hungbo with the penalty. He didn't start in this game. I know Donnie's mentioned him in the past as a sort of cheaper version of Charles Cook. Wasn't a great game, this. There was only 3 shots on target the whole game, and that's both teams combined. I think this kind of, you know, I was kind of humming and hawing about Aberdeen assets. You know, they're in the bottom half of the table now, but I'm really not interested in any Aberdeen at the minute. County, I feel, are less appealing now that they're in the top 6. Though they did have 3 clean sheets in their last 5 game weeks, which is uncharacteristic considering their season as a whole. But these clean sheets were all against bottom half opposition, and they did concede against Hearts and Celtic. So probably looking to get off Ross County players. I don't know how you feel about that. Peter, what's your thoughts on Aberdeen and Ross County?
Yeah, overall, I thought it was quite boring. The highlights were quite short. Aberdeen have surprised me that that's still got steadily worse under Goodwin, I think. I don't think he's turning around since Glass has left.
No.
Ross County are just chugging away. And I think we discussed this last week. We're talking about top six, bottom six teams. I'm kind of glad Ross County's top six because I will not be having any other players in. I'll probably be targeting them certain games.
Mm-hmm.
For Aberdeen, says now, we're not going to discuss our wild card yet because next week's podcast will be a wild card reveal with 3 years doing it. So anything we see here, just tentatively, maybe just first thoughts, and we're not really all in. But I've pressed the wild card button and I've got one Aberdeen player in my team that is right now. The only one player I've got is Ferguson, saw that cut out there. That could possibly change another week ahead with training and pressers. Cup games come the weekend, we'll see what happens before I think making decisions. But as it stands, I've got one Aberdeen player, no Ross County players, and I'm yet to be convinced otherwise.
Yeah. A more exciting game then, Celtic 7, St Johnstone 0. We've seen goals from Hitati, Yakimakis, Maeda, Juranovic got a penalty. O'Reilly got two goals as he came on as a substitute, as did Abada. Well, Abada got one goal. Assist came from Taylor. Yota assisted Maeda's goal. The Juranovic penalty was won by Hitati. Turnbull and Juranovic assisted each one of O'Reilly's goals, and Maeda assisted Abada's goal. So a lot going on there. As mentioned, he also won the penalty as well. For most part of the season, particularly since Christmas, the Celtic midfield, it's been hard to time. I think you maybe just stick with one or two and then just run with it. Real hamstring there. So it's possible that he may be out for a period of time. Kyogo is obviously coming back from injury. And Turnbull obviously came back as a substitute as well. And he looked fit too. So it makes things a bit more complicated for us. Obviously, Abada and O'Reilly came off the bench and they did an excellent job as well. So I'm struggling to sort of nail two or three midfielders down at this minute. In terms of St Johnstone, this isn't really a game to judge them on. I still fancy them to do well for the remainder of the season, particularly post-split against what you'd perhaps argue as lesser opponents. What's your thoughts on Celtic, Peter, and St Johnstone as well, obviously?
So, I'll start with St Johnstone first. I thought St Johnstone didn't start off terribly bad. I thought they had their press set out and they looked okay. And even after the first goal, they looked okay. They looked like they had a game plan. But once the second goal went in there, you see, as a collector, their heads went down and it was over. So, that hasn't put me off St Johnstone for the running because I still think they've got a lot to fight for. And I'm thinking, right, okay, they're playing Celtic. It was peak Ange Ball, let's be honest. It's probably one of the best fronts I've seen all season to Celtic. So, I'm not going to totally judge them by that. I'm still contemplating a few players I'm on there. The wild card. Celtic, I mean, everything you said is fine. I mean, it was great watching as a fan. When you look at it and you look where all the points are coming from and you've seen them all spread about. I mean, I had Rodic and you think, right, Rodic looked great in the first half. He comes off at half time and he's got nothing, so 1 point. Captain Jota, who looked great, but he only had one assist in it, so.
Yeah.
I know Donny mentioned last week about doubling up Celtic in the back, and I kind of do see his logic in it. Because it looks like the back five's nailed. Juranovic played brilliant again. My only worry again is I would bring Juranovic in the wild card and then he would start Ralston away to Ross County or something like that. And you just, well, I suppose if you've got the wild card, then you shouldn't have to worry about it because you should have enough on the bench to thingy situation. But Celtic going forward, I think you need to get nailed, especially with this last five games. You need to be nailed with all these players. So, Depends where you want to go. Tentatively, my list now consists of Yakimakis if he's past fit, Furuhashi if Yakimakis is not fit because in 8 years' time, Maeda, Jota. Do you think Abada's going to come back in? Do you think he's done enough to get himself back in? Do you think he's going to still stick with Maeda and Jota? I think Maeda and Jota's nailed.
I don't know. I think Abada's missed a lot of clear-cut chances. I think he had a couple of chances against Rangers that he squandered. And I think there was one in this game that he squandered a bit as well. So I don't know. I think he's a bit out of favour at the minute.
Just watching, I still think that he prefers Maeda and Jota on the wingers. I think so.
Mm-hmm.
That leaves you midfield. I mean, the only one that's definitely nailed, you would say, is McGregor.
Yeah.
Definitely nailed. So take that into consideration, guys, if you're doing your wild card. But once again, if Celtic go out and blitz somebody like that, you could just put the right play at the right time and one half will do. I mean, same day, the Riley in the team in the second half. I mean, happy days.
You're laughing.
But they look good, but fantasy-wise going forward, apart from the back four, it's a bit of a minefield, I think, for picking for the last five games.
I mean, you could always go with one of the lesser ones that are likely to start and just use the bench trick. That's certainly a possibility.
But McGregor hopefully gets a goal for somewhere.
Maybe like O'Reilly or something like that. Have him just stick him on your bench every week and have your non-playing player there.
I feel that's like a waste to a Celtic
asset. It's a waste of a Celtic, yeah. Just a suggestion.
I know. But there's plenty. I mean, if you're Juranovic, and well done. Because if you're Juranovic and Taylor, you'd have had a clean sheet and assist each, wouldn't you? So.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, that's it.
Kyogo throws a bit of span in the watch works as well, because...
We'll see it, how it goes in the semi-final, I suppose. Because there's a question on that later as well. I mean, if Kyogo starts off front and he plays well, then... You think he's back in and he's nailed.
Mm-hmm.
Because no matter what kind of... If Giamac has went off with any sort of hamstring, maybe he's not a tear, you think at least 2 or 3 weeks before he comes back. I think he might be done for the season, but you'll find out this weekend, I suppose.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll find out if he's not in the squad at all or what. That'll be a big indicator for us, definitely. Dundee derby then, 2-2. Dundee United, Clark goal. Assist from Graham and also Charlie Mulgrew for Dundee FC. We had a goal from Charlie Adam and a Danny Mullen. Danny Mullen also assisted Charlie Adam's goal. Clark has started the last five for Dundee United. He's had two goals and two assists in that time. Though United have finished in the top six, so that is a bit of a downside. Ross Graham, he's only been playing games for United since game week 23. Obviously got the assist in this game. That's 11 games in total. He's had two double-digit hauls of 11 in that time. He's also had a score of 8 and 2 of 6, so that's not bad for anyone that's wanting to go for a differential. But again, top six finished. They're going to have to come up against Celtic, Rangers, Hearts. Not going to be easy. Looking at the other half of Dundee, Charlie Adam, he's shown some recent form, having been fairly anonymous throughout most part of the season. He's had three assists in his last two games. So he may come good, but I don't know. Maybe something to keep an eye on. Danny Mullen, I quite like Danny Mullen. I've mentioned him, I think, the previous podcast. 4.5 million strikers, nice and cheap. His last six game weeks, he's had four goals and two assists, and that's 36 points, which is almost half his total of 68 for the entire season. And that includes a goal against Celtic, a goal and assist against Hearts. So it's not just sort of poor teams he's playing against. Dundee also featured in the bottom half of the table as well. So some nice fixtures coming up. They've also, I think it's a big ask to get out of that sort of bottom position, but it's still possible at the minute. With Giakoumakis out, the front three could look something like Roof, Hendry, and perhaps Mullen as a sort of enabler there, but a lot of us will probably have quite big budgets now, so maybe cash isn't an issue. Thoughts on the Dundee derby, Peter?
Enjoyed the game. It was good to end the stuff like a proper derby. Fantasy wise, it's funny Dundee United finished top six. Good performance for them, but I'm not interested in any of their players, like you said, because of the players who they're playing. Dundee more intrigued by Mullen. I think we mentioned this in the chat. Mullen's a good shout. I think you could be between Mullen and Hendry if you wanted to kind of go for your two, like you say, depending on who you fancy him, who you fancy to stay up. Charlie Adam again, maybe he's now rolling the sleeves up. It's relegation time, it's the time he's got to stand up, he's got the experience, can he do it? It could be two different differentials. You want to try to get up your leagues or try to make a difference in the league, I suppose, if you fancy Dundee to get up. I believe their first game is... Where is it here? Is it Dundee versus St Johnson? So that's the first game after the split. So
Win that and it's on a little bit there.
Win that and it's on. You could have won a watch if you pick the right players. If we could beat Everton Johnston at home, then you think it's pretty much all, but all done and dusted, because it's a bit of a hard task to come back for that.
Mm-hmm. Depends how they react though, with the pressure off. They might just start playing good football. You don't know. Players can react in different ways, I suppose. Something to keep an eye on.
That's it. Yeah. Wait a minute, Tom.
Yeah. So Hearts 3, Hibs 1. Andy Halliday got a brace and Kingsley also got a goal. Assist came from Barry Mackay and Peter Heron. Hibs consolation goal from Dre Wright. Assist came from Harry Clark. I'd say Barry Mackay's probably been the most consistent of the Hearts players. Over the last 8 game weeks, he's had 2 goals and 5 assists, with Boyce and Sims being fairly underwhelming recently. I think he's probably the man to go for. Kingsley, I think he's also a nice option for a defender. He's had 2 goals in his last 5, providing double digit returns of 10 and 16. I think Hearts still offer a threat in the top 6. They've got opposition like Dundee United, Ross County and Motherwell. However, they have secured that 3rd spot quite easily, and so their motivation may drop. A plus point is they do play Rangers in the last game week of the season. So depending on the state of the league, they may play a week inside if Giovanni decides to go for sort of fringe players and youngsters and give them some game time. So not too bad for Hearts. Hibs in the bottom half is appealing. However, they lack goals and a drop in defensive form is a concern as well. Harry Clark, he's had 1 goal and 1 assist in his last 2 games. So that maybe means he's going to retain his spot in the starting 11. And at 2.6 million, he is cheap. And he is quite an enabler. He's a bit of an enabler as well. Peter?
Yep. Hearts won this one, I think, quite comfortable overall. I think they look the most superior team. They do look by far and above easily the 3rd best team in the league. There's nowhere anywhere near them. I agree with you. I think I would stick on Hearts assets. Had them, I wouldn't be too fussed. The top 6 is broke kind of kindly for them. The teams there they should probably beat, apart from maybe Celtic Rangers, and one of them they've got at home as well, so they probably still fancy their chances regardless. I don't see them letting up. Maybe I think to look out for would be what happens this weekend with the Cup semi-final, because that would be like, if Hearts win, and I fully expect them to win, then they're fighting for places right up to the final, so every shot's up for grabs, I suppose, and we'd all be fighting for it. If they lose, it could be another effect, maybe still want to make amends and finish the season quite well. Hibs, I mean, look, the standout team in the bottom 6 going well back then, but they're too Jekyll and Hyde, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, I had Doig, he's clearly gone the wild card. Clark's a good enabler, like you said, because he's so cheap and he could sit him as that tough choice defender. Again, I'll always get to see what happens this weekend and see how Hibs actually get on. I've not been really impressed by Maloney. I'm surprised. I thought he'd be a decent coach. Okay, he's only in the door, maybe got a full summer, but I think it'll be a baptism of fire quite quickly next year as they start the season off well.
Yeah. The thing with Hearts as well, they've not been too bad against Celtic this season as well. I think Celtic only managed to beat them 2-1 and 1-0 over the last 2 games. So could be close in that fixture as well. So I think Hearts are still a decent option. Looking at the next fixture then, we've got Livingston 2, Motherwell 2. Goals for Livingston from Odin Bailey and Alan Forrest, which was assisted by Devlin. For Motherwell, goals came from Slattery and Lamy. Forrest had a bit of a purple patch of 6 game weeks not too long ago, where he got 3 goals and 2 assists. And this has been the first goal in a wee while. Previously, he's had 4 blanks. However, 3 out of those 4 were top half opponents. And the other one was against St Johnstone, who prior to the gubbin off Celtic have been in decent form. So he may still be a nice wild card option. And again, another cheap one, another cheap enabler there as well. Otherwise, I'd probably say there isn't really any Livy players that are appealing. Bruce Anderson still isn't in the squad. So I think it's probably going to be a while before we see him. Perhaps maybe not see him the rest of the season. In terms of Motherwell, they just managed to sneak into the top half of the table. I think that does take away the appeal from Van Veen, who's probably been the sort of talisman so far this season. Other than that, I wasn't really considering any other Motherwell assets, but Peter, do you think different?
No, I agree with Motherwell, Tom. I think if now they finish top six, I've lost real interest in them. If somebody wants to go for a goalkeeper or maybe Van Veen, then fair enough, that's a wee differential for yourself. Livingston, bottom six, happy with that. It's a pity we haven't got Anderson to pick from, I suppose. Forrest, a good shout. I don't mind the keeper either. Mm-hmm. Actually, their favourites for the bookies to finish top of the bottom six.
Right.
The bookies aren't normally wrong, so if you're going to go by the odds of that, then maybe one or two Livingston players in your wild card wouldn't be the worst way to go. Maybe a defender or a goalkeeper or a Forrest, like you said.
Yeah.
Something different.
Obelai's been good this season, but he's kind of went off the boil recently, so...
I prefer the two fullbacks, and I think it's Devlin's a fullback.
Yeah.
I think he's more attacking and gets more interception points. I think he'd be a better move, side of move for Obelai if... And he's also a bit cheaper as well now, plus he's banking money for Obelai.
Yeah. And that leads us on to our final fixture, St Mirren 0, Rangers 4. Roof got a hat-trick in this game. Aribo got the fourth goal. An assist came from Kent, Tav and Wright. Ramsey was off at half-time. Not great for my team. Rangers still in Europe. I would expect to see rotation. Bassey was also, he wasn't even in the squad for this game. So that may be a rest or possible injury. We'll have to wait and see. Roof seems assured of starts with Morelos out until the end of the season. So I think he's probably the way to go. I think probably him and Tav are probably going to be the two stalwarts that'll remain in my team post-wildcard. Other than that, I did go Ramsey this week. I'm starting to flip-flop a little bit on him. If he's going to be hooked at half-time, then that is going to be a concern. Your thoughts on Rangers and St Mirren, Peter?
Start with St Mirren quickly. No thoughts on them at all. No interest in any of their assets. I think they're in for Ethol. I'm kind of annoyed that first game is Dundee St Johnstone. I liked that a bit later on because then I think St Mirren could have been sucked in even more, if you know what I mean, with the whole bottom three. Rangers, like you said, I think it's just rotation because they're still in Europe. As soon as they scored that first goal, and their second goal, it looked easy peasy. They started making subs, getting players off, resting. Totally understandable. You'd expect that to happen. A big game coming up on Thursday night for them. Tav is another move for my team. He's still going to be there. Roof, I think, is the second option as well. If he's nailed, if he was anywhere near not being nailed, the hat-trick just nails him for the rest of the season, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And third spot... There's a question on this later, so wait to that about my third Ranger spot. Somebody's mentioned about captain choice not and stuff, and we'll get to that. Because I'm thinking... Anyway, I'll discuss it later. I'm going to be stopped too quick. Now you finished?
Yep.
Right, okay. So we'll go to... I've already mentioned the wild cards next week, so I'll go to our questions. Right, first up is from... Watch this update itself now as well, because they're... Brian, Blaze Attack. With Charles Cook having not secured since game week 28, not scored, sorry, and Ross Cooney reaching the top six, is it time to cash in on the near $2 million profit and bin him? Also, despite the recent good form, does St John's annihilation at the hands of Celtic put you off him? I'll start first here, Tom. We mentioned the Charles Cook situation. I think Ross Cooney finishing top six makes him an asset you don't want. I would personally bank the money and move elsewhere. And with the St John's question, me personally, I'm not putting both of them. I still think there is enough. One or two players in that squad could help you with the fixtures coming ahead. What's your thoughts, Tom?
Firstly, with Ross County, yes, I think it's time. He's not really done a lot in the most recent game weeks. We've made a big profit on him. I think it's time to cash in. As you mentioned, Ross County, top six. So they're going to have to face Celtic. They're going to have to face Rangers. Hearts are not looking too badly either. So it doesn't leave a lot of opportunity. In terms of St Johnstone, I'm not put off at all. You can't judge them. It's Celtic are top of the league just now. They're a very attacking team. They've got a very strong bench. And they've definitely excelled against tired legs towards the end. Now that St Johnstone are in the bottom half, they're going to be coming up against bottom half teams. And prior to that game, they were well informed in terms of defence. And Hendry as the sort of focal point there. He's been very consistent recently. Lots of goals. I think he's averaging about a goal a game. You can't really argue with that.
Okay. Next, we've got two questions from Scoosh 2605. Scoosh is the current reigning and defending half hour Fantasy Podcast Cup champion. He got through the first round as well, so he's still in it. First up, use wild card or not, Tom?
This game week, this coming game week? Yes.
Yes.
Get the most out of it.
Yeah. I think we discussed it last week. You get the most out of it. You get two, three transfers on the back end anyway. So with that second game being the Old Firm, whether you fancy you can go a certain way after it if you want to change your team up. And like Tom said, you need to get the most out of it. You need to do it now, I think. And his second question was, what teams would you look to select players from and what ones would you avoid? I.e. top six, bottom six teams enough to play for like Aberdeen, Hearts, Hibs. The teams seem to such a stake with St Johnstone, Dundee. And I don't want to go into too much detail because we're going to kind of do this next week because we're going to discuss how we got to our thoughts. But do you kind of agree with what you're saying there roughly?
What was the last bit, sorry?
Teams with something to play for, like a Dundee, St Johnstone over teams with nothing to play for, like a Hearts, Hibs. Not Hearts, Hibs. Hibs, Aberdeen.
I remember watching an interview a while ago, and it was from, I think it was a Motherwell player, and they were saying, even though there's only like a small difference in sort of prize money, depending on where you finish in the table, that sort of small amount of money for teams that generally finish lower in the league, it's still quite a lot. I mean, it can be a full wage for someone working in the, a full year's wage for someone working in the ticket office. So the teams don't tend to sort of take their foot off the gas too much. I mean, those that play FPL will be familiar with the term on the beach when sort of teams are guaranteed to finish middle of the table. I don't think that quite applies as much in Scottish football just because there's not as much money there. So I think even teams that don't have a lot to play for, if there's a sort of a talismanic type player that's got good form, I don't think you should ignore that.
Okay. And the last question is from Melvino, Melvino68. What is your captain and vice captain strategy post split? The Old Firm play each other in Hearts, so is a case of targeting perhaps a bottom six fixtures? We'll start with you, Tom.
What was that, sorry?
Okay, let's start again, man. Let's play it up. What is your captain and vice-captain strategy post-split? The Old Firm play each other in Hearts. So is it a case of targeting perhaps the bottom six fixtures?
I think I play it on a game-week by game-week basis. I think I'd probably still be sticking with Celtic and Rangers assets, particularly whilst the league's not mathematically won yet. Also, Rangers do play Hearts the last game week of the season. So depending on how things sit, well, it may be a week in Rangers team. So that's maybe a time to sort of avoid then. But on a whole, I think mostly Celtic and Rangers. But if there's certain players showing form, then I don't think you have to be very rigid. Obviously, when they play each other in the second game after the split, then you may want to take a punt that week. That's certainly a way to go.
Right, my thoughts are, this was going to be top earlier on. This is a big week for Rangers coming up, Thursday and Sunday. It's a big week for their season. So, if Rangers could get knocked out of Europe on Thursday and they'll get beat in the Cup on Sunday, I think there'll be a lot of unrest in that dressing room. So, I would be probably more inclined to think they might drop more points after that and I would be coming off them. But if they win on Thursday, and if they win on Sunday in the Cup, they'll be buoyant. Their first game's got a good game. Who is it? It's I'll check here. It is Motherwell away from home. It's not the worst fixture. So, wild cards and vice captains and captains, also we'll discuss that more in depth next week. But I'm more inclined to wait to see how Rangers got on this week because I think a lot will depend on how the end of their season can go. Mm-hmm. And like Tom says, as long as the league's alive, then I'll be backing them. But that's 2 weeks in, and you'll know a lot after the last game in Celtic Park, the last Glasgow Derby. You'll know a lot after that where your team goes and who to back, I think, because then you'll have a lot of unanswered questions being answered by that point.
Mm-hmm.
Right, that is us with the questions. Normally do captains, vice captains, and transfers, Tom, but
we'll save that for next week.
We're doing a wild card next week, so what I will do is I will quickly run through the first round of fixtures and we'll see you in early thoughts for it, right? And then that's it. I want to get my computer, I can't get it right. So 2 weeks' time, we've got Aberdeen Livingston, Dundee St Johnstone, big game, St Mirren Hibs, Motherwell Rangers, Ross County Celtic and Dundee Hearts. So just on that, but look at that to me. I'm thinking, right, the league's on still, so Rangers and Celtic away from home, you'd think they're two teams. And Dundee St Johnson is a big game at the bottom. So that's the few games I've got my eye on as it stands. What about yourself?
I think it depends on what players are fit this weekend. I think the cup game against Celtic and Rangers will kind of give us an idea of what the sort of strongest start in 11 is. There's a lot of sort of questions we still want answers from the St Johnston game in terms of Giakoumakis, Furuhashi. Obviously, O'Reilly had a great game. Is that enough for him to get into the starting 11? But for me, I'm probably still going to target Celtic and Rangers. You can't really ignore that Roof hat trick. So that is another factor that's sort of playing in my head just now.
Plus, I believe anybody that's still engaged in the game who has a wild card will have also noticed that Roof hat trick. So we'll be playing ownership numbers next week, the first week when everybody's got Roof, either a vice captain, at least in the squad. So something to look out for. And as well, I'd imagine Celtic, if Urahashi, early team news or whatever, and he's playing, then we'll have to consider on a wild card as well.
Mm-hmm.
I'm interested next week with our wild card. I think it's going to become quite templatey, quite quick, I think. At the start, anyway.
Yeah.
People might transfer out it after the first week, but I think it'll be quite templatey. So anyway, we'll discuss that next week. So you get any plugs, Tom, before we go?
Nope, just at @FFS_scout on Twitter.
Right, I'm Fantasy Half and Donny.Rob77. We're all back next week. Do a wild card reveal. I'm not going to say it's set in stone, but it'll be set in stone as well at that point, I suppose. And once again, half our Fantasy Cup, the draw is online. People can see this week after, so don't think it's set into this week. That happened a couple of weeks ago. People were thinking it was Game Week 32. Game Week 34 is the next round, and we'll take it from there. Once again, thanks for listening. Thanks for downloading, and we'll see you down the road. Say goodbye, Tom.
Goodbye.
Goodbye for me.
Deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.